y'all guys are getting ahead of me. That's all right. Well, it is a good morning. It was a beautiful day yesterday. I got a little ambitious and figure out how old I was and thought I could, you know, rake the whole yard and throw it down my hole that I have my ditch line. I did it, but I could barely move my arms last night. I'm like, man, you're getting old. That was great. Have my grandson was out there helping me at the end throw the leaves into the big trash can that I used to haul it to the hole that I have that I've been filling up for the last 15 years. It doesn't seem to be getting any fuller, but it's a good place to throw leaves and grass clippings. And I have some great pictures of him with a big scoop shovel, three times taller than he is, but boy, he's putting the leaves in the, well, sort of putting the leaves in the trash can, but you know, it was awesome hanging out with grandkids on a beautiful fall day. This is October, right? It's not like July or something. I don't know. I'm not complaining. I mean, it's awesome. I might get some more projects done before snow flies, but I don't know. I'm enjoying it. You guys enjoying it? Getting out in it? Or are you staying at home being homebodies? All right. Just a couple announcements. Just remember, I was just talking to Owen a few minutes ago. The financial class is still happening at some point. Brant's not here, so I'm going to change his mind. that'll probably be starting the last Thursday of this month because there's some conflicts this week, and then next week is our business meeting. So if you want to know where your finances are going that you give every week and every month, your tithes and offerings, our annual business meeting is coming up on the 22nd. Is that the date? I can't read that. Oh, 22nd. Okay, let me turn it on. 22nd, there it is. There it is. Thank you, Nick. So it'd be great to see you guys. We usually have, you know, our faithful 12 people that show up, and that's great. We'll do it. But if it's a good time, and I promise you we won't go super long. If I know some of you have been to other churches where the business meetings are argued every line item, and it takes 4 hours. That's not us. We read through it. If you have any questions, we talk about it, give a few reports. We usually out here about an hour, hour and a half most. So anyway, I'd really invite you guys to come. We'll have a good time. That was on 22nd, so put that in your calendars. I think that's any other announcements? It's not a pizza night. No food. I know. It's against our bylaws not to have me without food, but we're going to do it. Unless somebody wants to do something. But if you're going to leave it up to me, there'll be no food. So I don't think there's any other announcements. We're having children's class today. Awesome. Good. So let's open the word of prayer. Father God, we thank you again just for this amazing day. We thank you. It's amazing because you give us life. Not because of the weather outside, if it's rainy or sunny. It's an amazing day because of who you are in our lives. And Father, I pray that we would just remember that every single day, that today is the day that you have made. And we get to make a choice to rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, I know there's days that that's a harder choice than others. But when we sit down and we remember, we stop long enough to remember what you have done, are doing, and will continue to do for us every single moment that we draw breath, it'll be a good day. So Father, I pray as we worship this morning, as we just sing praises to you this morning, as we hear from you this morning, that it would be from hearts that are full of gratitude and adoration and love and every other emotion that you've given us. And Father, overall, I just pray that we are overwhelmed by who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
Thank you that you continue to show who you are to us. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you are a constant God, Lord, in the midst of ever-changing circumstances that we find ourselves in, especially in this year, Lord. We thank you that we can continue to come back such as the truth of who you are in our lives, that you will never leave nor forsake us. While this life may be hard, you tell us that we will face trials and tribulation. You never ask us to do it alone. You never asked for that. In fact, you invite us into your presence. You invite us to come boldly before your throne. You invite us into a relationship, Lord, not a religion. Lord, we thank you for that invitation. And I pray that all of us would take you up on it and live out our lives all for the glory and the honor of who you are. We thank you for who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name.
I worship you.
just pray that, Lord, that we would humbly come before you, Lord, that we would stand in the awe of who you are, Lord, that we would truly be the generation that seeks your face, Lord. Our generation, the future generations, the generations before us, Lord, that we would seek your face and your will alone. That we wouldn't seek for an answer from the world, wouldn't seek an answer from even our close friends, Lord, but we would seek your will and your face. May you reveal yourself to us in new and exciting ways that draws us deeper in the relationship with you, Lord. May we draw near as you draw near to us, Lord. May we continue to be faithful to who you are, Lord, as you are faithful to us, Lord. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Children are dismissed. Song, it's been a while since we've done that. Emily's like, I don't remember this song. It's been probably been a couple years since we've done that song. And it's an older song. It's almost, I think it's older than Emily is. Pretty close. What's that?
2003.
Three, oh, okay. Well, not quite. You were born. Just barely. But it was interesting. I actually watched that on I was watching a thing that, just before I get the group right. One of the big worship groups, I don't know if it was Hillsong or Revelation. Anyway, they did, it was fascinating, and at the close of 2019 and the beginning of this year, they did a big worship concert and, you know, worshiped in 2020, and it was like, wow. And the last song that they were doing, we haven't done here, I don't know if you've heard it, it's called Good Grace, and the lyrics of that are pretty poignant. Plays on the radio quite a bit, but they were singing that as they ushered in the new year, and it was talking about, you know, they were, you know, as I was watching that, singing prophetically about what we were gonna face this year, and it was just like pretty powerful. They didn't know that at the time, just about dependence on God and all these different things. But the song we just did was one of the songs that they did in that set, and the guy that wrote it sang it, and it's just like, wow. And as I heard that, God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. That's not about Gen X or millennials, all the stupid labels that we put on people. I hate that. I don't know why that's a thing, but I think as Christians, as believers, I'm not saying there's not some whatever that we've attached to those labels, but I would rather be labeled the generation that seeks my face of my Father. Let's have that. Let's that be our defining label. If we have to label us, let's label us that way, that we are a generation that seeks his face above all things and not anything else. And that's not in the message this morning. That's just a freebie. But there's been some interesting things. I've been harassed by many friends and family members for as long as it's been out to watch The Chosen. Anybody seen The Chosen series? One person, two people, three. All right, so I'm not the only one. It's worth your time. They're about a 45-minute clip if you just watch the event. And it's this group of people that went back and are going back and reshooting in a different way the life of Christ and his ministry. And it's fascinating. It's really good. They're reading between the lines of Scripture. I don't think they're taking anything out of Scripture writing, too. I think they're just seeing it, and God's really leading them. But the first episode was super powerful, and it kind of tied into that second song we saw, you know, when he called my name, I walked, you know, when he called my name, I ran out of that grave. And the first episode is his interaction with Mary Magdalene. She was filled with demonic. It's interesting, they bring out that they tie Nicodemus into that, and Nicodemus, you know, we don't have this in Scripture, but they tie him into that, the event that he tried to expel the demons out of Mary Magdalene and didn't work. And I love that they portray the fishermen, Peter and all the disciples that were fishermen. They don't sanitize them.
they have them hanging out in a bar and drinking, like real fishermen would be, right? And so Mary's upset. She's just come out of one of her demonic episodes, and she's sitting at the bar having a drink. And the first time you see Jesus, he walks into the bar, and he looks at her and goes, "That's not for you." It's just a simple statement. And she walks out, and she's mad, and she walks out of the bar, and she walks, you know, about from here to the opening there. And she's called by Lilith. I don't know why. That's what they call her. And he comes out and stands at the door of the bar, and he goes, "Mary." Calls her by name. She doesn't know who he is. And then he starts speaking this scripture, you know, he who formed you, he who called you by name, you are mine. As she drops her cup. And that's how they portray her release of the demonic. No big flowery speech. Just Jesus speaking truth. Now, we don't have that account in the Bible, right? So it must not be what happened. We don't know what happened, right? But we know that she was delivered. We know that, right? She was absolutely free. And again, this isn't about the, this isn't even, well, it is about the message, sort of. But I was just saying, it's like I was so impacted by that. And I don't, you know me, I don't usually promote things that aren't, you know, that, but well, it's part of the Word of God. But it's not, you know, that's not just straight scripture. But I'm saying, if you have to take the time, go back and watch it. I'm going to go back and watch it again myself. I'll watch them while they're shooting the second series. Season currently. But it's fascinating to see how they portray Jesus as this really lots of humor, lots of like hanging out with people, how he interacts with his disciples. Again, I think we've sanitized scripture in the sense that we've made these people these, I mean, we know they're rough and tumble, but yeah, but they were with Jesus, so they didn't, you know, give each other a hard time, and they didn't, you know, crack on each other, and they didn't, you know, all these different things. No, I think they were, because you know, we're real people. I don't think people have changed in the last, you know, however many thousand years, right? Right? People are people. Fishermen are fishermen. I don't think they were all sanitized and talking nice back in Jesus' day. I think they were pretty rough talkers. Right? Okay. That's just what I think. So that's just my opinion. But it was powerful to see how they portray Jesus and his disciples and all the different characters, and that's all I'll say about that, because there's some really cool things in there that y'all need to go back and watch. I know it took me a long time. My mom and dad, and I think Brant was the first one to harass me about watching it, so he'll be happy I finally watched it. It's like I said, it's worth your time. Sit down, watch it. A friend of mine is using it to take his youth through. Just watching that, and they're talking about it. It's really opened up a lot of interesting conversations, because maybe their church kids is like, "Oh, I never thought about Jesus in that light." I don't believe they're misrepresenting Jesus at all. I think they're out of the money. So anyway, we are in 1 John. We are in 1 John. We are starting chapter 4. It's a miracle. It's always interesting when we, on Saturday mornings, if I have to, when I get to lead devotionals on Saturday mornings, it's almost, I can't remember the last time it wasn't kind of a precursor to Sunday mornings, and yesterday was no different, and it was just a great time of fellowship with the guys that showed up for men's breakfast. So if you're not showing up for men's breakfast every other week, you're missing out, and we have a great time. So, all right, we are at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to kind of walk through this. I mean, I'm not going to go there. We're starting at verse 1. We're going to go through this, you know, just kind of pick it apart. As Father's really slowed me down to this, kind of looking through some things that really been hitting me pretty hard this last week, and I think in the season that we're living in. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And part of that was our major discussion yesterday was, how do we test the spirits? How do we test spirits? How do we test the spirits to see whether they are from God? And obviously, as we read on, we'll figure that out as we go through this morning. We'll see how that's so clear, and even in these first six verses, it's pretty clear how to do that. But as I was thinking about this, testing the spirits, how often do we do that in our daily life? I mean, it's one thing when we're dealing with, you know, the obvious kind of spiritual darkness. Okay, Father, you know, what's going on here? How do I interact with this obvious, you know, place where the enemy has a stronghold or whatever, those kind of things? It's really easy to kind of leave it in that place. But how often do we test the spirits when it comes to the spirit, when it comes to just kind of the mundane things? When do we really engage in that place of, like, with everything that we have, do we test what we're hearing as to be from God, or is it just man's opinion? And you've heard me say many, many times, if I'm not reading scripture, and if it's not resonating in your soul and your spirit that God's speaking to you, then it's just my words and they're not worth anything. And that's why I love one of the, Chris brought out yesterday, one of the churches in Acts, and it was a Paul was saying, look, test everything I say to the word of God. Test everything I say to the word of God, and if it violates the word of God, then I'm wrong. I don't know if that's how he said it, but essentially that's what he's saying. And I keep saying, I was like, if I'm up here speaking, or if I'm speaking to you one-on-one, and if it doesn't resonate with who God is, then I'm wrong. And I'm happy to be shown that. But if you show me that and I still continue to preach it, then you need to take it to the next level. Because now I'm doing some major damage. But test the spirits, and I love through this whole, you've been paying attention, but this whole book is this kind of fascinating how he keeps switching back and forth, sometimes in the middle of a chapter, sometimes from verse to verse, between children and beloved. I don't know why that just kind of caught me. It's just like it's interesting how he just keeps using those two terminologies over and over through this book. It's like, I think when I hear beloved, I hear this intensity of relationship. Right? When I hear beloved, it's like, man, pay attention. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Now, we can look in our society and go, well, people aren't testing much of anything. They're just believing whatever comes across Facebook feed. Right? And it's terrifying. And I've heard, you probably heard it too, people talk about, you know, the Facebook, internet, all those, you know, media, or, you know, instant connection things are really good, but they're also really bad because everybody thinks their opinion matters and they can just put it out there for the whole world to see. Right? And it's like, but there's a lot of people that are weak. There's a lot of people that aren't grounded in their faith. There's a lot of people that don't have an intense relationship with God that are going to believe what their friends put out there, what the popular opinion of the day is. And they're not going to take this time to process through and test what is being said. Test the spirit, because you know what? There's a spirit driving that comment. You ever think about that? Spirit drives all of our conversation. That's something to think about, right? Is the Holy Spirit driving our conversation, or is it another spirit? Right, test the spirits and see whether they are from God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. We're going to look at quite a bit of scripture this morning. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Now there's quite a few scriptures on testing, and I didn't go into all of them clearly, and this is the one I chose to take out. It was like, even as I was going, filtering through the different scriptures, I was like, why this one, God? How is this really sit in this place of testing the spirits? I mean, verse 17, pray without ceasing. There's your first start right there. If you're not in that place of communication with Father, if you're not in that place of praying all the time, it's going to be really easy to miss the Spirit that's talking to you in that circumstance. It goes on in verse 19, don't quench the Spirit. Woo, there's a good one. Right? So I know it's probably just me, but there's been times when the Holy Spirit's told me to do something or corrected me about something, and I'm all excited about it, and I'm really quick to do it all the time. I know that's just me, but I know all the rest of you are really good about that. But I really struggle with that sometimes, especially when he tells me to go talk to somebody that I don't want to talk to or love on somebody that I don't want to love on right in that moment because I'm kind of irritated at them or whatever. Right? But then what does the Holy Spirit do? He's like, well, you got to love everybody. Right? But that's the truth. Amen? I mean, really love, like not like this, well, I love you because I have to. I mean, sometimes we have to start there, right? I'll just be honest. Sometimes we have to start there because we were commanded to do so. And then it becomes the heart change shifts, right? But that comes again with that praying and not quenching the Spirit when he does those things. Like, I know that's what I should be doing. And he's like, yeah, and I'm reminding you because that's my job. That's why you test everything. Test everything. And again, it's easier for me when it's the big, nasty things that, you know, that I know I got to wrestle with God through. But what about testing the things of, like, making a decision about finances? Is that a spiritual decision? Is that a spirit-driven decision? Because there are a lot of things that make sense. But it's like, how often, I know, and again, I'm just preaching at myself, how often have I, in those moments where it seems like an obvious decision, have I not got on my knees and said, Father, is this the decision you want for me to do? It's not a right or wrong decision. Is it the decision you want me to do? Because right or wrong decisions are a lot easier for me to navigate. It's the ones that, is it good or is it best? Is it good or is it Father's will? Am I in that place of testing? I love verse 24. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. Because it gives us this ability to be in this place. He gives us the ability to test the spirits. Because again, I know I've said countless times before, when Father tells us to do something, we have the ability to do it. Right? So when we think, well, I don't have the ability, I don't have all the knowledge, I'm not a biblical scholar, he ain't me either. But we have the Word of God. And like I said, we won't get through all these verses this morning, but if we just took these first six verses of chapter 4 of 1 John, it would tell you how to process through testing the spirits. It's really simple. I love how God keeps it really simple for me. Right? So test everything, because as verse 1 says, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Not just a few, many false prophets. They were dealing with it back in biblical days. We can look over the history of just as long as I've been alive, and you know, we've had Waco, we've had, I think, Ruby Ridge was during my lifetime. We've had all these different crazy people that have claimed to be God or a prophet or whatever, and led people into some ridiculous situation. I mean, I know that's an extreme, okay? False prophets aren't about all capturing people and putting them on a compound and fighting with the government, right? Those are the big ones that get all the media press. But what about the false prophets that are in churches? That stand up here and don't convey Father's heart week after week. Or maybe they're not in, a pastor, maybe they're just out in the congregation and they're weeding their deception and their lies to the congregation. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 20 and going on to in chapter 2, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. Whew, I like that. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Test the Spirit. If somebody's being prophetic or whatever, and that's a whole other topic, or we're not going to get going into that at this moment. But I'm just saying, when people get to that place, because there's a lot of prophecy being thrown out right now. You guys heard about all of it? And there's wild, one side to the other, right? It's all going to end November 3rd, November 4th. The world's going to blow up, right? I don't know, right? And then you have others that are, which I tend to more line up with, because, before all these guys started talking, I believe America's still got another good run on her. And there's lots of people talking about that. Right? But again, regardless of what side it is, and here's the thing, I love that it doesn't matter because Father's in control, so I have to believe the Father's in control. That's comfort for me. Because if I had to rely on comfort from other information, I'd be a basket case, all right? Verse 1 of chapter 2, but false prophets also rose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Doesn't say there might be, there will be. Catch that. That's why we always got to test the spirits. That's why we always got to pray without ceasing. Because there will be false teachers that come into our lives at some point who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality because of them. The way of truth will be blasphemed, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Test the spirits. Test that conversation when you're going to someone for advice and wisdom, and that's great and wonderful things to do. But even when you get that, don't check out your spirit. Because you have the Holy Spirit in your life that is a better voice to listen to than the best advice you will ever get from a man in the world. I'm not saying the advice that they will give you is bad, but I'm just saying, I'm sure you've all had those conversations with people when, it just resonated with you, and scripture automatically came to mind and just led you to this place of revelation with God. And there's been those conversations where, like, oh, that hurt. That was just like somebody just threw dirt on you, or worse. That to me is—it's not always about feeling. I'm not saying it's this. Ooh, I gotta feel all tingly and all. No, I'm not even talking about that. But so often we check out our brains so much, and we don't test what's being said to us. We don't enter into this place of relationship with God, and we're not in this place of constantly, okay, Father, in this moment, not just what am I hearing, what am I saying? I mean, every single week when I stand up here, it's like, God, I do not ever want to say something that's not what you want your people to hear. Verse 2, chapter 4. By this you know the Spirit of God. And here it is. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. There you go. There it is. That's it. Keep it simple. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. Now be careful, because you could easily read that and go, every spirit that believes that there is Jesus has come from God. That's not what it says. Because the demons believe in Jesus. The devil believes in Jesus in the sense that he's a real person. And it does them no good. Right? So be careful when you read scripture. You read what it's really saying. Right? Because it's not just about simple believing that Jesus was a person and that he existed. It's about this relationship. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And again, go back to that Chosen series. This is really where this is about. He came in the flesh and the relationship that he had. And that is portrayed in that series. But here's the thing. It's not, they had him for, I've said it myself. Man, wouldn't it be so awesome to have Jesus here in the flesh? Yes, it would. and how easy it would be to live my life, he who is just here in the flesh. Okay. Yes and no. Right. But I think about the power that we get to reside in, that we have in our hearts and lives, that the disciples did not have. They didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in their life when Jesus was there and from. I'm not saying they had a bad example or a bad time, but I'm just saying I'm so glad I have this. And I know that obviously someday I'm going to see Jesus in the flesh. Right? But I'm glad that I have the Holy Spirit. It continues to teach me and remind me about who Jesus is and about who God is. And he continues to put that into my heart and my mind. And here's the contrast. Verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God, is not from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. We were talking about this a little bit. Oh, I got back up. By this you know the Spirit of God. Their spirit confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is from God. And back up a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, if you read the rest of that chapter, it's all about spiritual gifts. But I think it was just fascinating. Verse 3, no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you ever had those moments in time where people that absolutely have a relationship with God, have absolutely had that moment in time where they've accepted Jesus Christ in their life, and they have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When you talk about things of spiritual, when you bring up just the simple name of Jesus, it's awesome, and you have this amazing relationship. But I've had those conversations with people when you just say the word Jesus, and they about come out of their skin. Why? Because they're not his. And they can't even, I don't know if you've been around those people, they can't even say the name Jesus. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they're not his. And again, I love how he keeps it super simple. And we have these, and there's lots of other ways you can figure this out. But I love the simplicity of what Father took me to this last week. And again, when we start thinking about the Antichrist, I don't know what kind of background you have on the background. The background that I grew up in the church is when they did talk about it, it's always attached to this person and a point in time. And there's been lots of people that said they thought Hitler was the Antichrist and all this. I'm not saying, again, when we think of the word Antichrist, anybody that's against Christ is an Antichrist, right? And I do believe that there's going to be a point in time, because I think Scripture bears this out, where there's going to be a moment in time when a person in history, in time, will do some things, right? But we get caught up in this, like, look, it's interesting how he says it's already in the world. It's coming, but it's already in the world already, back when 1 John 4 was written. Now, I believe there's a spirit. I don't know if his name is Antichrist. But I mean, we see that in our world today, do we not? I mean, the spirit of Antichrist is rampant when you think about just, I was talking to somebody this last week, just pure logic is not even existence. I mean, I'm not even talking about using scripture, I'm just talking about pure logic. When people are absolutely lying to you, they could say to some people today, they would say, it's pitch black outside right now, and they would look outside and go, yep. I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but some of the things that are being put on our society and people are believing are that extreme, are they not? And I know those are the obvious things, but the things that are even more that are subtle still are like night and day difference. When we're sitting in the power of God and we're seeing those things and we're asking Father about those things, and sometimes I don't even have to ask Father. He's just like, look, son, watch out for this because this is a lie. But look, I don't care what it looks like. This is a lie, and pay attention. Test it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Starting verse 1. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or a spoken word. That hit me pretty hard this week. Do not be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or a spoken word. I've seen a lot of believers that are shaken because of what has happened in 2020. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, man, I wish we could just skip over 2020, get to 2021, it's going to be all better. Is it? I don't know. I mean, I hope so, right? But here's the thing, where is our comfort and where is our security? Is it in our circumstances? Is it in our environment? Is it in our culture? Is it in our economics? What is it in? Is it in those things or is it in the Word of God? Is it in the power of the Holy Spirit? Where is our foundation? Continuing on. Or a letter seeming to be from us, woo, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Or a letter seeming to be from us. Did you catch that? Again, to me, that goes back to what are pastors and preachers speaking from the front? Is it seeming to be the Word of God or is it? There's a big difference. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. That event has not happened yet, to my knowledge. Right? There's something that seems pretty close. It seems like we're getting there. This is as close to prophetic teaching as I will ever get, right? Do not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and you will know what is restraining him from now. And you will know that what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, at whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. Come on! It looks all gloom and doom, and then it says, and then Jesus is going to blow on him, and he's going to be dead. Right? That's how I read that. The spoken word out of the mouth of the one who created it all is going to say, you're gone. Now, there's going to be some things that happen that he's going to be allowed to do. But at the end of the day, he's going to go, bye-bye. I want to talk about superpower. We talked about this before. To speak into existence things that are not. Right? I'll stay off that because I love preaching about that, right? So this is how much power this guy has, as much as Jesus gives him. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. And with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The deception for those who are perishing because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing, but again, people don't want to hear about absolute truth. They say, Pastor Mike, you can't stand there and say how I feel about this is not truth. Yes, I can. Because I've had lots of things that I felt like were truth and they weren't at all. Right? I don't know where the southern drawl came from. My few years in Georgia, I guess, kicking in. I love absolute truth. Not all the time, but I love that there's absolute truth because I have something to push against and have a relationship with my father that I can argue with him about. And he's like, I understand what you're saying, but this is still my truth. And son, at the end of the day, your truth is irrelevant. Ooh, I love hearing that. But I love that it's simple. I love that I know when things are going sideways for me, it's like, where am I in my relationship with the truth of who God is and what his word says? Oh, there's where I'm off. It's a really easy guideline for me. One more. Actually, not one more. Pick that up next week. But this whole thing of testing the spirits to see whether they are from God, is a big thing for us. It's always been a big thing for us. But I think more and more so as the world seems to be getting darker and darker. I don't know so much if it's really getting dark and dark. I mean, obviously, I think there's some things where our generation is definitely turning their back on God, but I think if we go back and look over future generations, they have as well. But I don't know much so much. I mean, part of me believes that it is getting worse than it has been in the past. But then I wonder how much of it, is it really worse, or is it just because we have access to all of it all the time, 24/7, that it appears worse? I think before the days of the internet and cell phones and all this instantaneous worldwide connection, sin was still happening. People were still doing all the same wicked things they are doing today. It was just localized because nobody could hear about it. And so somebody traveled there and they brought it back and it was all word of mouth, you know, giving away. And it has it how regardless whether it's worse now or it's just more advertised, it doesn't matter. The solution is still the same. Test the spirits. See whether if they're from God or not. Constantly be in that place of prayer or in a relationship with Father, going, Father, is this, regardless of whether, like I said before, whether it's a big major decision or it's something very simple. It's really easy for us to go, God doesn't want to know about, you know, simple, silly decisions I need to make. Yes, he does. You're not boring him with the little decisions that you want to talk to him about. Because if we'll do that, then we'll actually come to him when things start to go a little sideways. And that's the thing that just kills me. You know, if you just put into relationships, usually what happens when people get help is when their relationship is about ready to fall apart. It's not when things are small. It's not when things are just an irritation. It's when we're just ready to, you know, take this person out. It's when we decide to get help. And the same kind of thing for God was like, look, if we just come to him with our small things and we allow him to speak to us in those moments, it won't get to this catastrophic level. But again, it comes back to this place of like, man, I don't know if I'm hearing right. So instead of sitting in my own wisdom, and if I can't figure out from praying, I'm not saying God won't speak to us. Yeah, I believe he will. But he has also given us each other to help listen, to speak into each other's lives. Again, does what we're hearing from each other line up with who God is and his heart? Because if it doesn't, I'm not saying it might be not be comforting that moment, but it's not transformational. There's a big difference. I've had lots of good and warm, fuzzy feeling conversations with people, and they're not, haven't been a waste of time per se, but I've also had those conversations with people where my life was radically changed at the end of it because we have come together as two or three or however many people I needed at that moment to come together and pray and listen to the heart of Father in that moment. And that's a big difference. This week I met with my, as I always do, pastor friend of mine on Tuesday mornings, and we were praying, just talking about one of our other pastor friends, and we texted him and said, hey, can we just come over and pray with you? And he's like, yeah, sure, come on over, which was great. You know, he's pretty busy. And so went over and sat around a table and talked about the things that are going on in his life, and the cool things that are happening in his life and in his church. And we just got, you know, the opportunity to pray with them. I know who both those men are. I know they don't. They have an amazing walk with God. But when three boys get together and talk to their dad, the difference. It was awesome. I didn't get back to the. I mean, I started at 8 o'clock picking up my one friend, and then I didn't get back to the office till 1:30. I love that kind of ministry. I'll do that all day long. But anyway, so we were sitting there praying over our brothers, like, Father, what do you want us to pray about? And it's weird. You think about it here, you know, here's my friend that just, he's been going through some hard things in his life and his ministry. And the thing, as my other friend was praying, I don't know, you probably don't do this, but God was speaking to me about other things that he was going to let me pray about. I wasn't like not paying attention. I wasn't one of those conversations like, wait till you shut up so I can speak. It wasn't like that, right? But what he brought to mind that I haven't thought about in a long time is my first interaction with this man. Years ago, I hadn't thought about this event in a long time. But as my other friend was praying, that was the image, the moment Father brought to mind to pray about. Years ago, I remember walking into this house up on Hillside in Anchorage. I heard his voice before I saw the man. And I walk around the corner and see this man sitting at this table. I didn't even have to guess who it was that had spoken. It was one of those instantaneous connections that God designed. And we've had this amazing relationship for these last however many years. But again, I kind of fabricated that moment. It was that moment of praying with my brothers and saying, God, what do you want us to speak into each other's life about? And I'm saying we need to push into this now, because regardless of if things turn around and we have this amazing revival and America turns back to God and we have another however many years of millions and, you know, billions of people getting saved, which would be awesome, right? Or it totally goes in a dark place and this is the end. Either way, we need to push into this place of relationship with Father and relationship with each other, because we're going to need it. Things are easy now. They're inconvenient. It's still easy. Where is our hope? Where is our faith? What is rocking our boat? What's causing us to doubt who God is? Because it's not going to get less intense. I was talking to someone this morning about that kind of thing. Your life's not going to get easier. You got to carve out time to spend not doing all the things you're responsible for. And then Father's like, yeah, how much are you doing that? It's like, be quiet. I'm talking to this person, right? Right? Life's not going to get easier. It's going to get, do we want easy really though? I like the adventure. I like the ride. And don't get me wrong, I like comfort too. I'll be honest, I like comfort. There's still things, a lot of things I would like to do in my life. If all goes south, it's not going to happen. That's all right. Give God the right to change my mind. Because some of those things, he's like, yeah, you're too old for that. You can't do that. I'm like, yeah, really? Watch me. No. But test the spirits. So here's my question for you all this morning as we continue this next week. Are you testing the spirits? Are you testing the situations that come into your life every single week? Are you in this place of praying without ceasing in every situation that comes at you? Even if it seems like the smallest, silliest little thing, it's like, God, really? You want to know? Yeah. God. He wants us to be like my daughter when she was younger. When you used to ask her about her day. And I'm not picking on you. It's a beautiful thing. It feels like I'm picking on her. I'm not. Because her, I don't know if she still does. I think she still, you still do it? You still do it. Okay. Brad's like, yeah, she still does it. If you ask Emily about her day, sit down. Because she'll tell you from the moment she woke up. It'll take her 15 minutes to get out of the bedroom when she's telling you about her day. Maybe a little faster now. Right? And I'm not picking on, I love my daughter. But see, that's the kind of relationship, that's the kind of father, that's the kind of relationship Father wants with us. When he asks us to come talk to him, that's the kind of detail he wants. Right? I'm not picking on my daughter. I love her. I hope that doesn't make you embarrassed, right? Because I'm trying to be really careful about that. But this is a beautiful, you can blame Father because he gave me that example. All right? Sometimes examples are mine, but that one wasn't. But that's the intensity. He already knows about our day. He already knows all those intimate moments. But when we sit and we tell him, there's a difference. There's a connection. There's this place of understanding Father's heart. So when those things come at us, we know what Father's heart is. And it's not a chore. It's not this big guessing game. It's like, I know what Father's heart is because I have that to compare everything to. And anything that doesn't compare to that, I don't do. Or I cut off. Or whatever the situation is in that moment, test the spirits and see whether they be from God or not. I'm going to close this in prayer, then we're going to go into a time of praying. And in our time of praying, obviously, I always tell you, pray whatever your Father wants to pray, have you pray, talk to him about. And maybe some of you are walking into some pretty deep things this next week. You already know what kind of week you're going to have. You know some big things that are coming up. I would ask you just talk to Father about that. See how he sees it. And if you know it's going to be super hard or emotional or whatever it is, ask him to show you how he already sees that because he's already there. Yeah. So I'm going to pray real quick. We'll go in time and pray, and then we'll be released. Father God, I thank you again so much for your love. I thank you for the clarity and the simplicity of your word. You tell us to do something, and even when you tell us to do it, there's the clear explanation of what it looks like. And the things that we can look for, listen for, and it's so clear and so obvious. And when it's not clear and obvious to us, it means that we're not in this place of relationship, or maybe we're in the struggle so deep that we need others to come alongside. And help us see. Give some clarity. And Father, the next few moments as we just spend some time with you, Father, I pray that you would just bring to mind those things that you want us to talk to you about. Just like you did when I prayed over my brother this last week. And you brought a moment in time that I hadn't thought about in years. The sweet beginning of a relationship that I believe will last forever. Father, I pray that you would just unite us together here in these next few moments as we pray about all the different kinds of things. And Father, again, as I always speak, if there's something or there's someone that's really you put on our heart in these next few moments to go pray for, come.